Okay, we're back. Settle in a bit. So, what did you notice about the difference between returning to presence versus returning to your old way of being?
Sarah, this is Susan. I
Mm-hmm.
have a question. Can I ask a question?
You can ask a question.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You said to not go into a sense of needing a result, and you were talking about presence, and to shift into something else. But my thought on that was, we do just about everything for a result, a sense of result. You eat because you're hungry. You and I'm, you know, I'm being very literal here, but I didn't understand what you were trying to get at, the shift I was supposed to make. Does that make sense?
I'm just taking that in.
Okay.
So when you're in a sense of presence, oh my God, there's a Baltimore Oriole here on the hummingbird feeder. Whoa, that's really highly unusual. So, when you're in a sense of presence, do you feel the pressure or need for a result versus doing what you need to do in response to a truer sense of what you need?
You lost me.
So, the sense of seeking a result, what does that feel like in your body and your being when you are demanding a result of yourself or around you?
Stressful
Mm-hmm.
because I'm putting pressure on myself, but I'm doing it to need the result. So
Okay.
it's not a calming experience. I don't, maybe when I'm eating or something, it's calming, but so
I get that.
I'm just trying to understand the twist I'm supposed to make there, the shift in my
So you,
presence.
are you trying to figure out how you get anything done if you're in presence?
No, I'm trying to figure out the shift I should make because you said that shift into how, I don't know how what you
Shift
said.
into presence.
Okay, shift into presence. Well, okay. I guess I'm not quite understanding the presence then.
Okay. So when we're in a state of presence, we're able to sense, are we really hungry or not?
Right.
So that's the difference between being in a state of presence. You can still get something done,
Right.
but it's probably clearer for you and more aligned, body and mind are more aligned. So you can want to eat for a million different reasons, which may not be what your body really needs at the time.
Okay.
Versus when you're in presence, you get more information about what your body really wants or needs.
Pulling back into yourself fully and sensing what you need rather than just reaching for something.
That
Is
would be
that
a good way of putting it, yes.
okay? Okay. All
Okay.
right. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sure that was helpful for other people too.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else?
Presence has been coming up a lot for me lately. In fact, yesterday during Qigong, like the statement came into my mind all of a sudden. It was power is in presence. I guess it goes back to the Monday night class when we posed the question to the living energies about where we need to take our power back. And it became clear to me that it was taking my power back from my ego mind identity, like the striving, like we were talking about at the beginning. And so to be in presence is calming, but that's not the goal. It's not a result-driven thing. It's just being in that moment where you can feel and sense the environment around you. And I guess a less filtered way.
With more clarity, yeah.
Yeah, more clarity. Yeah. And even at the break, I was doing a task, but it wasn't goal oriented or result oriented. It was actually a very present task that was not, I didn't feel like I needed to get it done, but it was calling to me in a present way. So I was able to do something with presence. It wasn't like I was just staring out the window at the trees or something. So that was pretty cool.
Wonderful. I know. And so it takes off the pressure of time, of judgment, and very often allows things to happen in ways that you didn't plan or anticipate or project. But it doesn't mean that you don't get things done in the world, which sometimes that becomes the idea that you think, oh, I'm in presence, I'm spaced out, I'm detached, I don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? We don't have the deepest sense of what presence brings to us
Right.
until we fully, experience something like you just did.
Yeah, and the other thing that was coming through, I think while you were speaking before the break, but it's been present for me for a while, is that when we have a result in mind, it limits all the infinite possibilities of where that can lead you, right? If you have a goal oriented or like, I need to get this done to achieve this, that's just only one pathway out of essentially an infinite amount of pathways to take. So it becomes really limiting.
It does. And it takes us out of the sphere where we're in collaboration with the luminosity of life, which can include the illuminated beings or the brighter, more intelligent source frequencies, which when we do allow that to come in, paths open, not necessarily like, we've been trying to get an electrician and a plumber here for a month. We haven't succeeded, but I've gotten more peaceful with having the electrical things not working and the plumbing not working that needs to work. And I'm just waiting for that to open up. So it brings things into, I would say, a relationship with right timing and more peace. So it's a evolving practice. How about anyone else?
This is Ananda, and during the meditation, I kept kind of falling back into breath, doing a breath practice, Fikr, some type of mantra. And every time I did, it felt more constrained, and it felt more expansive to just sit in presence. And my mind was going, oh my God, I have 50 years worth of spiritual practices that I've learned, and they don't work anymore.
Well, the good news is they do work, and you're finding a different relationship to them. Let's put it that way. So, yes, I have, over 50 years of doing similar practices, mantras and breathing practices. And what I find is, and I actually just found a letter that my teacher, Sufi Amin, wrote to me about the deepening of the mantras and the practices. It's been sitting on my desk for 30 years, and I just finally reread it. About now you have the opportunity to go into a deeper realization with those mantras. So the mind is removed from the process then. And when you settle into the presence, the essence of the mantra can start living in you as a more realized state of being. So in presence, those mantras, which you are used to having more of a mental participation in, have now become part of the living energy of your being. And when you shift into presence, they're there as living energy and not as a formulated thought. Did that make any sense to you?
Oh, alhamdulillah.
Got it?
Yes.
That's the beauty. So all those years of practice will have the opportunity to come alive in your being as you sense into presence. And that is the path of doing mantra. It's deeper and deeper realization, first of the thought about the mantra, what it means, and then the mantras, mine are just automatic in me. They're always there. They're the rhythm of the background of my being. But I don't do them as a practice. They're living in my being as realization. And not everyone has to have the path of mantra. I just want to make that statement for those of you who have not had that path. But it was really interesting that letter from Amin is literally taped to the side of my computer cabinet. And I've seen it every day, a million times a day. And then I just finally read it again this week. And it addressed exactly that. So, congratulations. So, mantras are a living frequency. When they're originally brought forth from frequency, which is how language is formed. And the closer they are to resembling the frequency in their sound, which, there's original languages on our planet that they consider, like Hebrew and Sanskrit and probably Quechua, a few other languages. English is not one of them. And when you repeat mantras in those languages, what you're doing is attuning to the living frequency of the meaning rather than the thought of the meaning. And at some point, they start to grow. They've been seeded into your being. If they're given to you by a realized being who has the living energy of that mantra within them, then that's a huge blessing because not only is the language conveying a living vibration, but the teacher's living presence and realization of that mantra adds power to your own realization of the mantra. And so that gets back to the thought that we've been talking about, that you don't really teach anything that you haven't realized fully into every dimension of your being or cell of your body. And they use the phrase knowing it in your bones as the most authentic way of transmitting a frequency or a realization or a practice.
So you're describing transmission through presence as well as oral transmission?
So in my training early on in my 20s, I was held to that level of authenticity and still am. And that takes time. It's not something that you that's proliferating on the YouTube and internet now. Which is, sharing of maybe some insights or thoughts without the deepest integration into your being. But it does introduce the thought and concept into the mindset, which has a benefit too.
So these can rest like seeds in your field, and then when the attunement is ready to blossom, then they manifest.
Exactly. That's what the farmer knows. And I believe that we come to this incarnation with the seeds of infinite source knowledge. They're there for everyone. And life experience can help fertilize and stimulate growth. Books that create insight. The natural world is totally aligned with it. So there's many ways of nurturing those seeds. But it gets back to impatience. There's no way a farmer, well, unless they use toxic chemicals, can speed up the organic process. We bought a rose bush a month ago and we hadn't gotten around to planting it. And I was feeling a sense of, oh my God, this is, it needs to be in the soil. We are not aligning our life with the organic timing of this rose bush. And finally got it planted. So how, what would life be like if we followed those organic processes? And that relates to the solstice too, because the solstices and equinoxes are the organic cycles, as well as the moon phases and the 24-hour day phase. And we're not much aligned with those things now, with that kind of timing. And you can feel, if you allow yourself to unwind and align with it, how good it feels. And you can feel how tightened up we get trying to force life to happen. And it still doesn't mean that you can't function. But being more present to yourself allows you to navigate within our culture a way of being that is fairly aligned. That's why I emphasize grounding every day. Because, of course, we're going to align with the inorganic timing that our culture is based on. And coming back to ourselves daily. And when we do that, we do accumulate heavy energy. And then when we come back to ourselves and clear that, then our being comes back to clarity and can clear what's been accumulated and at least have a stronger and stronger sense and stronger foundation of presence and making choices that support presence. It's quite complicated now.
So, are your thoughts or mental activities now integrated with, because I think I don't even know how to be without my mind, without thoughts.
Well, picture your thoughts within the sphere of presence instead of outside of it. You can have thoughts. Last evening, Ken and I went out to Lake Erie. I wanted to be with the elements, and we spent a beautiful time there. And then he said to me, would you like to go eat at this organic restaurant, which we really like, or do you want to go home? And I would have loved to go to the restaurant because I love the food there. But having been in a deep state, I made the choice to come home. And what I said was I wanted to stay in the quiet, in the silence. So I made a choice. And it comes down to the choices we make. And I thought about it. I was using thinking in the sphere of presence, and I was sensing in myself. I liked both options, actually. Both options sounded great. And then I really heard myself say, I really need the silence, so let's go home. And so it's that kind of process, which I'm sure you do a lot, Ananda, that you make choices to support your presence or your peace. And everyone here does.
To me, when I'm in presence, I feel it's more observational. Like I'm just genuinely observing, sensing, feeling. And when I'm caught up in the flow, it's much more judgmental and reactive.
And that only compromises ourself. It cuts into our vital energy, into our health, into our sense of alignment and peace with ourselves. And so I hate the feeling, I really hate the feeling of being caught up in a space where I can't be present. And I make choices according to that. If something like I won't go to a baseball game at the stadium or go to loud places because just the sensory experience overwhelms me. And I do, you do become more sensitive.
This happened to me last week, and I had the opportunity to at the last minute to go to a beach house with some friends, and I was excited, and so immediately I said yes, and I couldn't wait to swim in the ocean, and ocean's really where I need to be a lot. And but then as I sat with it and understood the logistics of it, I just knew I couldn't do it. And so I had to back out and just say, that's not what I need. And I really needed a weekend to myself to just settle in. As much as I wanted to swim in the ocean, just being at home was more important for what I knew I needed.
And so it's those little choices that we make that help us ne negotiate the space of being present and what the consciousness around us is like. And that was a beautiful offering that you were offered, and you would have loved to go in the ocean and gone surfing or whatever you would do, and yet you knew what you needed. Lake Erie was really excited last night. It was really big waves and dark water. Everything was churned up there, but it was beautiful. Anything else coming up? So this is our process of clearing, purifying, relaxing as we shift into more and more presence to be able to receive these new frequencies with less resistance and less reaction. So there's a difference between just kind of hanging out and chatting and adjusting to a ceremonial atmosphere. Which is what we're doing. We are in the presence of the greater intelligence, the luminous beings are with us. The higher frequencies are with us. And so, even though we're going slowly, we are doing some chatting, there's a difference in doing this within the ceremonial sphere. As we're adjusting versus just sitting and chatting, can you sense some of that? Can you sense a little bit of the sphere that we're entering into and becoming more aware of it? And watch how you're trying to sense it. If you're poking around in your head, kind of reaching out to sense versus settling down deeper into your grounding, into your seat, and allowing it to be around you and within you instead of an object outside of you that you're trying to sense. Excuse me. Can you sense the difference between reaching for it versus coming into or connection with your presence?
When I really drop in to my grounding, I feel like it comes to me rather than me searching and looking out for something. So like if the deeper I go into my being, things show up for me versus me out there combing and searching for it. And the discussion we're having to me feels sacred, whereas idle chit chat feels either stagnant or like you're trying to fill space or void with something.
I would agree with you. Allow yourself to settle more deeply into your seat now. Feel your hands and the energy in your hands. If you need to adjust your body to the flow of energy, go ahead. Is your diaphragm moving as you're breathing? Is your lower back softening? Are your calf muscles softening? How are your feet and the energy between your feet and the earth? Has the right side maybe different from the left side? Does your chest want to expand as the energy starts to rise? Allow the energy to guide the body. And staying in your presence. Can you speak to your experience and share that with us? What's happening? And you're in process, so you haven't arrived or achieved a result. You're in process, and what does that feel like for you? What's the experience? Staying in your presence as you speak and noting jiggling you might have to do that. What's the energy trying to show your body?
It's inviting me to come into flow instead of having resistance to it.
In what part of your body are you sensing the resistance and the invitation of the flow?
The invitation is coming from my feet, kind of working up the ankles and sort of down my crown into my head, and the resistance feels mostly in my middle section from like my knees up to like say below my shoulders. But as I soften it, it penetrates more deeply and the relaxation sort of comes incrementally, piece by bit by bit.
And this is where the patience comes in. So maybe a better way of phrasing this is, how is the energy showing you where there's tension and how it would like to flow and to release the tension?
Sarah Smisa. I started to pulsate, just a soft, deliberate pulsation, and I could feel my body sinking and releasing. And at the same time, I started to feel a tension around my whole lower back. And I had an awareness to allow the breath into it. It wasn't clearing. I repositioned my body on the chair, and that relieved the tension in that, the majority of the tension in that lower back area.
Beautiful. Remember the suggestion to invite the energy to free up the congested, heavy energy. So try inviting the energy to free up an area that you're feeling tension in. Notice any impatience, trying to get a result, wanting a release, and then sinking back into the presence patiently. Allowing, turning over to the intelligence of the energy. How does that feel? What's happening for you? Share with us what you're experiencing.
I'm getting a very slow but beautiful softening, and I feel like I'm sinking, but expanding into my root chakra in this way that I'm not sure I've ever experienced before.
Ah. What little shift are you feeling? See, every time you share through verbalization your shift, it helps create that shift in the whole group. Like, did some of you feel your root chakra, that sinking, as Russell spoke? What's stopping you from sharing? How
I want
can go
to
ahead.
expand. I felt like was trying to relax one area, but it pointed to another area that had to relax. And then that pointed to another area. And I felt like, okay, I reached the root area that needs relaxing, which happened in my case to be the solar plexus area. And that's not where I started, but it kept leading me to what I felt is the area that needs the most attention.
Beautiful.
There, it's Lisa. When Russell did speak, I was in the tailbone area, the root chakra area at that time. And I felt as if the root chakra was, tailbone was attempting to release, but the way my legs were positioned, my seat could not really sink more, and my thighs couldn't sink because I had my feet on top of a piece of furniture because there was no more floor left. So I moved the seat back, allowed my stance on the floor to be wider so I could feel the weight of my thigh, which allowed the weight of the seat. And then that allowed the tailbone to awaken and open.
How many times have I spoken about the underlying and overt oppression of women's power with the all that goes into women keeping their thighs pressed together. And how vulnerable it feels to really widen that stance and open up the knees and thighs. It's a subtle form of oppression to sense that there wants to be invasion into that spot, into that area. And the pervasiveness of that throughout the culture and the underlying field. The sense of high heels being a standard of beauty. It's all suppression of female power. And I realize there may be a difference in how the men and the women are experiencing this in the group today. But there is a general sense of constriction in that pelvic area and the lower back area that contributes to suppression of power. Is there something you can share about this, anyone?
This is Ananda. Doesn't happen so much now that I'm old, but I just had decades of unwanted overtures and I'm feeling how much it became a constant guarding, tightening, shielding, you know, below my waist.
And the root chakra is where our power is. That's where the integration of spirit and body, embodied spirit, happens. And the Kundalini there. And every type of power, confidence, belief that does not arise through support of the energy in the root chakra becomes an artificial, flimsy concept. There is a general sense, and this is very general, but it's throughout the culture, that and for men it's different, and that's why I had those programs last year for men and women. But for women to be able to embrace and power and inhabit the whole pelvis, when I see it through the whole culture, it's like if that tried to open, it's almost like it would crack, like when a wishbone cracks, you know, like it's that rigid and hard still in our culture, no matter how much women have progressed, it's still so deeply embedded in our culture. And it ripples through to all of our pregnancy, childbirth, sexuality, empowerment, everything.
Sarah, this is Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm.
So for the past few weeks, I've been noticing a lot of pain in my tailbone, around my tailbone. And I've been relaxing the muscles around it. I've been attributing to my posture. But when you just mentioned a few minutes ago, it's also a suppression of the feminine power that really resonated with me. And the unconscious resistance I'm having there. And as I'm sharing this, I'm feeling so much tingling going through my entire body.
Yeah. I just have to say, Lakshmi, you've been doing beautiful work. And I encourage her because she's kind of new to this work and you're just doing beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to share something with you that I will only share with this group, and I will cut it out of the recording. So I said to Ken the other day, do you realize that I have golden light coming out of my pelvis? And when I say pelvis, you know what I mean. That's what we have. And man, you have beautiful light coming out of your sexual organs as well. And as I say that, you might actually feel the constriction there in terms of allowing the energy to move through there. Not as sexual energy, but as consciousness, bright light consciousness. And there's a gorgeous male cardinal at the theater now. Everyone's going to the theater.
I'm having a bit of a release there, and it's just sort of waves of grief.
Yeah.
For the past.
But it's good that it's opening and clearing. It's powerful. It's a powerful grief, too, because it's not that you chose it. You're just living in the oppression field of it. So the energy led us into this area. And it's a very sacred approach. If we're working with energy and we connect with the living energies, they're going to guide us into releasing all that has constricted us in every part of our body, our mind, our emotions. And in ways that we can't get at when we approach it through the mind or even the body. The energy guides in a way that it fills up what's being released. So you're not left with a void. And we talked about this in one of the classes recently. A lot of times when you think your way through some kind of clearing, you're left in a void. The energy will not leave you in a void. It will fill you up with a new sense of being. And it won't feel like a loss. It'll feel like a reclaiming of your being and your presence. And so that's why we have to continue staying with the living energies. So even Ananda, as you're feeling the grief, also feel the living energies that are will also clear the grief, maybe in waves, maybe not totally today, but in waves, and will fill us up with a true deep empowerment and sovereignty within our own being. Is anyone struggling with this right now? I just want to make sure I can help if you're struggling. You allow more power, energy into that whole root chakra, second chakra, third chakra area. Let it flow around you, in you, not aiming it, but allowing the flow to find its way through. We need to be able to walk around through life with radiant pelvises. And with a little lightness here, we live in a little township called Newberry. And recently, they're restoring an old church from the 1800s, 1840s. And it turned out that this church was the center of the women's suffragette movement in the northern part of Ohio. And their first effort was to be able to have women be able to wear bloomers or pants. And that was their first protest. It later shifted into the suffragette movement of claiming voting rights. But it started in this little church around the corner from us. And I think that's appropriate that if you're wearing bloomers, you can open up your legs without, spread your knees apart without having to worry about what will happen. So, how are we doing? Because we're going to be coming to a pause, a break.
I'm feeling like the grief has subsided. I'm still sitting with sort of regret for lost opportunities. That's still sort of processing.
So, along with that regret, stay with the sense of the energy guiding this instead of getting lost in the mind trying to guide it. Okay?
Okay.
It's okay to be in regret and sadness about something and allow it to eventually guide to a more filled, powerful place. So the living energies, you don't want to get stuck in the regret, but you do want to honor it, acknowledge it, and allow the living energies to take you to the new place. And this is what we need, what each person needs to learn to do for themselves, is to go through a whole cycle of maybe something uncomfortable that's been opened up because the living energies are guiding you into a more present state. And things will come up, and allowing yourself to be uncomfortable, to feel the feelings you have while still allowing the energy to guide the process. So, go ahead.
The regret feels like it's sapping energy rather than filling it up.
Well, that part would. It would be a draining.
Yes.
And as it drains into Mother Earth with your feet connected to the earth, there will be a point at which it will go through its process and a revitalization will occur. And they might be simultaneous. In other words, there might be a release downward and a flowing upward. Not that you draw in, but that happens as a result of the flowing downward of the heavy energy. There you go. You just shifted. And I would say one thing here. If there is extreme trauma, sexual trauma, that supplementing the clearing with a modality that feels right for you, whether it's therapy, other kinds of body work, cranial sacral, whatever you know helps you, would help the process. I know for me, there's a feeling of I'm really happy when I finally recognize something that's been sitting in me, hidden, that has been a constricting agent. And there's, I find it like, oh, thank God this came up for clearing. Even though it can be uncomfortable, I have an overall sense of, I am so glad this came up to be released. I'm not sure everyone feels the same way I do, but that's how I naturally approach it. Does anyone else have something they'd like to contribute? Are we okay to take our lunch break right now?
Okay by me.
Okay. Okay, so I have 1:35. Let's reconvene at 2:45. So it'd be 1 hour and 10 minutes for a lunch break. Like I said, we're doing this in smaller increments. So we'll do that break. So you can hang up. I will send out another link. And thank goodness all of you got on except me, or I got on twice. So look for another link. You should have it by 2 o'clock my time. So that means in 25 minutes, you should have a link. If you don't, let me know. Okay. So move, keep connected to your presence and the living energies, and we'll reconvene in 1 hour and 10 minutes. Many blessings.